KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have fair skies at 60 degrees. We look forward to be mostly sunny, hot, and humid today, a high around 88. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Cass County Health System. Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Well, Atlantic Fest 2018 is underway today. Lots of events getting underway at this hour, including the Hy-Vee Pancake Breakfast at the Atlantic City Park. Also, the motorcycle show registration is getting underway at 7th and Chestnut Street this hour. And the car show registration will be getting underway from 8:30 until 11:30. Other events today include a craft show at 5th Street from 10 until 4, activity booths in the Atlantic City Park from 10 until 4, the kids' bike ride at the Schulberg Area West parking lot at 10:30. Also, pony rides at 6th and Poplar beginning at 11 o'clock for $5 each. There's a family carnival at 6th and Poplar from 11 until 2. Also, live entertainment throughout the day beginning at 11 o'clock with Villa Dance Company. Pedal tractor pull this afternoon at 1, Atlantic BPW Bingo at the City Park at 1 o'clock, also the 50-50 raffle at the AM Coron stage at 3:45, and a car show awards, motorcycle awards later on this afternoon as well. Again, you can find that full schedule on our news page at KJAN.com. In the news, Cass County Auditor Sherry Carnes reports two people have filed to run in the November general election with regard to the County Ag Extension Council. Christy Plagman of Cumberland and Chad Becker of Wyota will have their names appear on the November 6th ballot. Candidates have until August 29th to submit their nomination petition papers. There are five positions open on the Ag Council in Cass County, each of those a four-year term. Elsewhere in the news, Montgomery County Auditor Stephanie Burke on Friday released information about important dates and candidates who have filed in advance of the November 6th general election. Burke said independent candidates for partisan offices, which includes attorney, recorder, treasurer, board of supervisor in District 1, 2, and 4, have until 5 p.m. on August 29th to file nomination papers to run for Montgomery County offices. The filing process applies to NPPO candidates, that is, no political party or political organization, and candidates nominated by petition for county and township officers. Anyone with questions pertaining to the number of signatures necessary for a petition should contact the Montgomery County Auditor's Office at 712-623-5127, or you can go to www.sos.iowa.gov. Saturday, October 27th is the deadline for voter pre-registration. There is Election Day registration, Burke says, but she says specific documentation must be provided, and if possible, you should register before Election Day. On November 6th, the polls will be open in Montgomery County from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. The polling places include the Red Oak Gold Fair Building, Red Oak Fire Station, Red Oak First Christian Church, Elliott Community Building, the Stanton and Grant Fire Departments, and the Villisca Community Building. Persons wishing to vote absentee should request a ballot in person at the auditor's office, the auditor's website, or the Secretary of State's website I mentioned a few moments ago. And the following Republican Party-affiliated county candidates whose names will appear on the ballot in Montgomery County include Recorder, incumbent Carlene Bruning, Treasurer Tara Hughes, Attorney Drew B. Swanson, Supervisor District 1, Rudy Kennard, Supervisor District 2, incumbent Mike Olson, and Supervisor District 4, incumbent Mark L. Peterson. Interested candidates may also file papers for a township trustee, township clerk, county hospital trustees, Soil and Water Conservation Board, and County Agricultural Extension. Other offices on the ballot will include Montgomery County Public Measure A and City of Red Oak Measure B. Montgomery County Auditor's Office is open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. And if you have any questions, you can give them a call. Iowa Lieutenant Governor Adam Gregg, who was appointed to the post by Republican Governor Kim Reynolds in May of 2017, spoke with KJAN News Friday about the upcoming election, his role in the campaign, and other matters. Gregg said that he and the governor will be spending the next 10 days at the Iowa State Fair.
What a great opportunity to celebrate Iowa's agriculture and rural heritage, and also get the opportunity to shake a heck of a lot of hands from all across the state. We're excited about that opportunity. We're going to have a fun 10 days, but overall, I can tell you we are traveling all over the state talking about the incredible things that are going on in our state. We're the number one state in the nation. We've got the number two lowest cost of doing business. We're the number three best managed state. We've got historically low unemployment, and there are tens of thousands of opportunities for Iowans in every corner of our state.
He said they're also talking about how to make the state even better and what can be done moving forward as they work to accomplish their goals. One of the challenges, he says, is facing Iowa is there are more jobs available than there are people to fill them.
And as problems go, that's not really not a bad problem to have. It would certainly be better than the flip side where there's way more people who are looking for jobs. But you know what? It's a challenge nonetheless. The governor has proposed and the legislature passed what we called the Future Ready Iowa Act, which is all about making investments in job training. You know, not every job requires a four-year college degree. Sometimes a two-year community college degree is all it takes, or even a one-year skills certification, or maybe it's an apprenticeship.
Greg said with the tens of thousands of jobs available across the state, there are openings at every wage and skill level. It's important, he said, to train Iowans in the areas where all those jobs are available, because to do otherwise leaves economic opportunities and prosperity on the table when those jobs are not filled. Greg says it's an honor to serve as Lieutenant Governor and the people of Iowa.
I have this really unique opportunity to get to serve side by side every day with Governor Reynolds, who is somebody who really connects with Iowans. I get to see it every day. She understands the issues that Iowans face because she's faced so many of them herself. She's overcome challenges in her life, just like rural Iowans do all across the state. And, you know, she understands the value of a dollar because she's had to earn every dollar that she's ever made.
His boss, he says, has incredible experience in public service and has capably served as governor over the past 14 months. Adam Gregg says he'll stack up the Reynolds administration's record against any challengers in the November election.
I think the most important thing to understand is that Governor Reynolds and I are not satisfied with the status quo. We wake up every day thinking about how we can build an even better state of Iowa and unleash opportunity in this state. So what we want to do is lay out a positive vision of how we can move this state forward. So much of what we're hearing from the other side is all about undoing the progress that's been made over the past few years. What we want to do going forward is continue to make investments in K-12 education, continue to make investments in job training to fill all those jobs that are available, make investments in our mental health system, which is a challenge in our state, and it's a challenge all across the country, but we need to do better. And we want to make sure that we're making sure that there's opportunities in rural Iowa.
He says a recently signed executive order issued by Reynolds creates the Governor's Empower Rural Iowa Initiative, which Greg has been tasked with leading. He says it's designed to encourage investment in Iowa, develop the next generation of leadership, and get rural Iowa more and better broadband internet connectivity. Deirdre Dozier, the Democratic candidate for Secretary of State, says she has steered clear of commenting on the court dispute over Iowa's voter ID law because she didn't want to confuse voters. Dozier says some of her campaign plans have been on pause, waiting for the Iowa Supreme Court to issue its ruling.
Because we want to get people excited about voting, and you know, we do countdowns and things of that nature that help to increase excitement.
Dozier, though, favored the longer 40-day period of early voting. The Iowa Supreme Court on Friday struck down a district court's injunction, so the new state voter ID law's 29-day-long period for early voting is now set. Dozier spoke at the Des Moines Register's soapbox at the Iowa State Fair Friday. She stressed election security and warned there are people who are trying to impede Iowa's voting process.
How dare they do that? But the only way that we're going to fight against it is if that Secretary of State's office takes it seriously and hires someone that is focused on securing our elections day in and day out. Because we know there are rooms of folks that are trying to figure out a way to hack into our systems on a daily basis. So we need to be defending ourselves on a daily basis.
The juror says one of her top goals, if she's elected Iowa Secretary of State, will be to get the 400,000 Iowans who are eligible to vote registered to vote.
We're in a day and age where it shouldn't matter if we're Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, or Independents. Each and every one of us, if we are eligible to vote in the state of Iowa, we should be participating.
Dozier faces Republican Secretary of State Paul Pate in the November election. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.